Well, let's pray and then we'll jump into this. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity. Father, we just ask your blessings upon us today, Lord, in that you would anoint, Lord. Because, Father, without you, we just can't do it, Lord. Even if Moses declared, Lord, that if you don't go with us, Lord, we're not going. So, Father, we just ask you now, Lord God, to just take a hold of all of our hearts, Lord, that your anointing might open us up to receive this word, Father God, because indeed this is something you want to communicate so deeply into each one of us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It's a little hot. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm chapter 139. Psalm 139. And so now let me ask you a question. How many of you, because you came to church this morning, you've decided that you're going to be completely and totally honest? Okay, everyone? I take that no one raised their hands. That means that it's a consensus. Everyone's going to be honest. How many of you in this room have ever wanted to be somebody else? I said it's kind of one of those questions. You know, it's a question that sometimes very few people are really willing to admit that at some point in their life they had a desire to be somebody else. I know that in my own life there's been times where I have certainly wanted to be somebody else. When I was growing up, man, I always wanted to be Zorro. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in my neighborhood, we used to play Zorro all the time, and we would jump the fence in the backyard because we lived right next to a wrecking yard. I mean, what? I mean, folks, I got to tell you something. Living next to a junkyard was better than living next to a Walmart. I mean, it was just awesome. We'd jump the fence and go back there, and we would take the dipsticks out of the engine, and that was our Zorro swords. And I could make the best Zorro sound of anybody in the community. And you just got a Z carved on your shirt. It's awesome, man. Or Daniel Boone. I mean, who wouldn't have wanted to be Daniel Boone? Daniel Boone was a man. He was a big man with an eye like an eagle and a tail. And as tall as a mountain was he. He was brave, he was fearless, and as tough as a mighty oak tree. Man, whenever you seen Daniel Boone, you know, and you heard that song playing, you know, you just, I want to be Daniel Boone. My brother's name was Daniel. That was the only thing that tainted Daniel Boone. Or Davy Crockett. You can tell what channel I listen to. Born on the mountaintop of Tennessee, greatest or greenest state in the land of the free, raised in the woods so he knew every tree, and he killed him a bar when he was only three. Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier. I used to just sit there and just salivate, man, going, I want to be Daniel Boone. I want to be Zorro. I want to be. But then, man, there was this show that came out. Forget Zorro. Forget Daniel Boone. Forget Davy Crockett. I wanted to be Mark McCain. Anybody know who that is? What? Lucas McCain's son. I wanted to pop him every once in a while because he got his dad in deep trouble half the time. Such a knuckleheaded kid. I thought, if I was Lucas McCain's kid, I wouldn't get my dad in trouble like that. His pa was the rifleman. Killed like 700 people on TV. That was okay, though. I just wanted to be the rifleman's son. Hey, that rifle. Chuck Connor. I'm sorry, I'm having a moment. Y'all just lay off here. Good grief. I mean, I never did have one of those guns, so I tried to make one. It didn't work. had that big lever on it. Man, Chuck Connors was mean. He was better than Dirty Harry any day. Different seasons in my life, though, caused me to want to be different people. I'm not going to tell you who I'd wanted to be like whenever I was a teenager, and 20s and 30s and 40s, and now in my 50s. But I mean, have you ever wanted to be somebody else because you really didn't like who you were? Or maybe you want to be somebody else because you liked who they were better than you liked who you were. Well, that brings us to our text this morning. This is Psalm 139, and this is one of those portions of Scripture that is very familiar. But yet, sometimes I think we read over it and we don't really get the whole gist of what God's saying to us, because we just look at it and go, oh, that's real sweet. But it's more than sweet. This is an incredible passage of Scripture that God wants all of us in this room to get a hold of this morning. So Psalm 139, let's skip all the way to verse number 13. This is what it says. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in you, your book, they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in the number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." And now I want to read it again out of another translation. This is the Living Bible. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious is it, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I waken in the morning, you are still thinking of me." Folks, whenever we read that scripture, we got to begin to understand that God spent a lot of time putting us together. Come on. He knit us. He made us. We are one of a kind. And in the last translation, it talks about being his workmanship. And that word workmanship really means to show off. You know, God did something really amazing in every one of us. And I don't want to clump us all together as humanity this morning, because I'm really here to talk about you as an individual. So what you got to understand is that God wants, he knit you together, and his workmanship is so excellent. It's so far beyond anything that we can imagine. The human being, and you have to understand, his workmanship, he wants to show it off. So often we spend a lot of our lives trying to be somebody else, when God is just saying to us, just be who I made you to be. And you go, "Well, Pastor, why in the world are you talking about this today?" Because, folks, I got to tell you, I just really feel the Holy Spirit putting pressure on the Church of Jesus Christ today to rise and to be what it is he's called us to be. Last week's message, I talked about the last encounter of Christ, and I talked about two lines. And one line, I'm just going to tell you, you want to be in that line. There's going to be a judgment seat of Christ, and all of those that have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, they're going to stand in that line, and their works are going to be judged. But coming after that, a few years, God is going to set up this event, and it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And I'm telling you, you are in really, 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 really deep trouble if you're in that line. If you're in that line to face Jesus Christ as the ultimate judge in the Great White Throne Judgment, man, you have messed up. And this is what I thought about last week as I preached this message is, man, we are the only ones, we are the believers in this universe that can actually make a difference in somebody else's life so as to get them in the right line. I mean, folks, think about it. If you went to the local grocery store and you were used to going into one of these lines that the checker is really slow, beep. What you going to do with these? Oh, you going to eat them? Okay. Beep. These are good. I tried these last week. They made my dog sick, but whatever. If you're used to it, and so in the next few trips to the grocery store, you avoid that line because you're in a hurry. If you've seen some poor, unexpected person like Pastor get in that line, wouldn't you come to me and say, "Hey, man, change lines. That person's incredibly slow. You'll be here till closing." And folks, that's all just about buying groceries. But we got people that are in the wrong line spiritually. They've never given their lives to Jesus Christ. They've never had somebody go after them with a passion and say, "Man, you deserve more than you have right now." You may have grown up in a dysfunctional home. Your mind may be all twisted from things you've let in. But Jesus Christ loves you with a passion that you can't even understand. Now, folks, what we've got to understand, though, is we're sitting here as a church of Jesus Christ, and we've got to have growth in the kingdom through our lives. And so this morning's message is about you. Because if you don't think you're okay, then you'll never be what God has called you to be, what He's designed you to be, what He's made you to be. You've got to come to the fact of life that you are what God has made you. That you're not all messed up. It's God that has formed you in the womb of your mother. Even before the foundation of this earth was laid, He knew you. Fearfully and wonderfully made, the workmanship of God. So this morning I'm encouraging you not to swap your life for somebody else's. Oh, I just wish I was them. Discover what God has made you to be. And now, I'm going to throw this in as kind of a little footnote. As we discover what God has made us to be, I think we can always strive to be a better me. Amen? How many of you all know that none of us have arrived yet? And there's a few of us that are like myself, that we've got a little bit of work to do trying to make myself a better me every day. Because I want to be better for the kingdom. But the first thing that I got to understand is, as I'm trying to be better for the kingdom, is that God has made me who I am. And yes, we should have a goal of our lives to be a better me. But we've got to be the person He has made us to be first. And we've got to be comfortable in our own skin. We gotta quit thinking we're somebody else, and we could be more than we are if we were somebody else. Bible tells us to continue to work out our salvation, and in other words, it's this process to become better. It's this process to become who you are. And so let me give you this life principle this morning. It's one of these things that you can really live by every day. You will never be a happy you if you're always trying to be a happy them. Come on. Oh, I would be happy if I was like that person. I would be happy if I was talented like that person. I'd be happy if I was beautiful like that person. You ever seen that show Wife Swap? That's a scary show. I think the premise for the show is these families, they swap wives. And one wife from one side of the country goes to another home on this side of the country. That wife changes places and they inherit these families, these husbands, and these crazy, chaotic situations a lot of times. And they discover what it's like to be in another person's shoes. And oftentimes, whenever they sit down at the end of the show, they talk about how much they've learned from being in that family that's not their own. But one of the things that seems to be kind of consistent through all of these programs is they learn how much they appreciate their own families. My husband's crazy, but I still love him. And he's better than that other crazy husband that I was with for 2 weeks. Folks, we've got to learn to appreciate who we are. What does it say? Fearfully, wonderfully made, marvelous are your works. That's who we are. See, in the same way that people swap wives, I think sometimes if we swapped lives, we would find out it's not so green on the other side of the fence. Come on. Used to, I'd see people with big houses, fancy cars and everything, and I go, man, I wish I had that. And then you know what I found out? That those people that have that are generally so far in debt that they could never dig themselves out. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm okay where I'm at. Come on. So this morning, kind of to grab a hold of who we are, because like I said, if we can't ever come to grips with who we are and celebrate who we are and be what it is that God wants us to be, we'll never ever fit into that place in the kingdom that he so desires us to be, so that we can make an impact for the kingdom of light. So this morning, a couple of things, and I'm going to throw these out very quickly. Number one is this: celebrate who you are. Celebrate who you are. I mean, folks, I'm just waiting. You know, next Sunday evening, we're going to have a worship service. And I encourage you all to come, because, folks, I got to tell you something. I believe with everything that's in me that we are able to change the atmosphere that we live underneath. Come on. You get up real, like, gray in the morning and you're just, you know, going, oh, I just can't. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to go that way all day long. You can change that if you desire to change it. Come on. You come into a service like this and everything's just flat, everything's just dead, it seems like nothing's happening. I'm going to tell you something. You can change the atmosphere. Folks, I'm waiting for a party to break out here at Trinity Assembly of God in worship. I mean, people just start saying, listen, man, I've been too conservative for too long. I am going to worship the King of Kings, the majesty of this universe, with everything that's in me. And just throw a celebration. I mean, just people just start celebrating Jesus. But in the same way, I pray that many of us in this room will start grabbing a hold of this to start celebrating ourselves. Folks, I got to tell you something. You're okay. This is what I'm going to... As a pastor, sometimes I have to deal with problems. And a lot of times those problems are with people. Sometimes people will schedule an appointment. They'll come in and, pastor, you know so-and-so? I go, mm-hmm, know him, it's my wife. No, no, it's they don't do that. But anyway, they'll tell me this story about what a terrible thing that this person has done to them. And I have to many times just kind of frame perspective. Because how many of you all know that oftentimes us getting hurt, our feelings hurt, is a matter of perspective? And this is what I will preach to you. A dead person never gets their feelings hurt. Some of y'all are going to get this in a minute. The Bible tells us we're all supposed to be dead to ourselves. But a lot of times I'll listen to them because that's, as a pastor, what I do. And I'll listen to them and they'll cry a little bit and they'll tell me how bad it hurt. They'll tell me it hurt all the way down to their little slippers on their feet. And I'm okay with that. And then I'll ask them a question. I said, okay, so you know so-and-so. Mm-hmm. I said, do you think that they are inherently evil? I mean, because like Hitler was evil. Come on, man. I mean, he was evil. So I'm saying, was this lady inherently evil? Is she, well, I don't think so. And I said, so do you think that this could be just a misunderstanding instead of you think that it was something she meant evil towards you? Well, it could be. It is. Now go get it right with them. Come on. Folks, none of you in this room are inherently evil. The vast majority of who you are is really good. You're kind and you're generous and you're loving. Well, all except... No, I'm kidding. Sometimes, though, whenever we're maybe not as good as we should be in one area of our life, oftentimes we overlook all of the good things that we are in other areas of our lives. Are y'all with me? Sometimes I think it's the work of the enemy that just points that out, just points it out over and over in our lives. But let me remind you of this. He never comes to you and says how good you are in other areas of your life. He only points out the negative. Come on. None of you in this room are inherently evil. I mean, none of you in this room are ugly. You know, a lot of times we take characteristics, features of our own selves and we go, man, I wish I was like that Hollywood movie star. Have a chiseled abdomen. Guns like a python. People actually submit themselves to plastic surgery outside of having to have something reconstructed because of an injury or an accident just so that they can look better. My nose is not exactly right, so I'm going to go have it surgically taken care of. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Y'all's noses are okay. God made me with the nose I've got. I'm okay. It blows good. And have you ever noticed this? Your finger is the only finger that can fit up your nose. It's perfect. It's made to order. Oh, some of you all have to, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. He's talking about picking his nose. Everyone does it. But we'll take one of those physical things about our own bodies and we just tear it to pieces whenever, I'll be honest with you, you're okay. Y'all got two legs, you got 2 feet, you got 2 eyes, you got 2 ears. Are y'all coming on board with me? You are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. You might not be perfection as you look at the world around you, but you're just like God made you. You're okay. You got to come to grips with it. If you're a few pounds overweight, underweight, if you're short or you're tall, you got to come to grips and say, man, I can serve God because I am what it is that He made me to be. I'm no longer going to hinder myself because I'm not the right height. I'm not the right weight. I don't have the right hair color. Are y'all with me? Fat people can win people to Jesus. Skinny people can win people to Jesus. I'm telling you, short people can preach the gospel. Tall people can preach the gospel.
People got big noses can preach the gospel. People got two ears can preach the gospel. Dave Reaver has preached the gospel for a long time, and he's only got one ear and a half a face. If you don't know Dave Reaver, look him up on the internet. He was damaged severely in the Vietnam War whenever he was trying to throw a phosphorus grenade, and a sniper shot it in his hand and literally almost blew half his body off of him. But he said, listen, I am who I am, and God can use my life in a mighty way. And I'm telling you, I've seen the ministry of Dave Reaver touch tens of thousands of young people all over the United States. We've got to celebrate who we are. Hey, I'm a little bit overweight, but that's okay. I mean, it's okay. Folks, I'm talking about the spirituality of who I am right now. I can do what it is God has called me to do, even if I weigh a little bit too much. Celebrate who you are. Celebrate. Get in the car, nobody else with you, and celebrate who you are. Say, God, I am so thankful you made me who I am. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. I'm marvelous, God. I'm marvelous. How many of you have ever said that about yourselves? Man. Now, folks, I don't mean to celebrate the bad stuff, that stuff that we're still working on. Are you with me? Don't get in the car and say, man, Lord, I'm celebrating. I'm a liar. Pants on fire. No. Don't do that. But this is it. In every one of our lives, I am absolutely convinced that there is way more good than bad. It's just like I said earlier, it's so difficult sometimes to see past our faults and look at the good that's in our lives. I mean, man, I've always wanted to sing like Carmen. Man, always wanted to play an instrument, man, like Jared or Clinton, Corey. I would have loved to play the drums like Chris, man. I can't. I bought a guitar. I slept on that guitar for like 6 months, and I still couldn't play it. I thought it'd be osmosis. See, but the thing we all have to realize is that God made you to be you. He made me to be me. He didn't make us to be somebody else. We've got to begin to be comfortable with who we are. So celebrate who you are. God's given you gifts. I said last week, everybody's a 10 in some area. Everybody is a 10 in some area. And it just takes different people to run the world. You know what I'm saying? I am who I am, but one time I had an opportunity to work with this guy. His name was George Kneebone. George was the nicest guy. I mean, seriously, he was just the nicest guy. He was always giving compliments. He was always being a blessing. But George was just different than me. You know, George is not a kind of guy I would have wanted to take hunting or fishing with me, because George would have found the worms icky. He'd been asking me to bait his hook. And I just couldn't have done that for another man. You know what I'm saying? So I just thought George was a little bit wimpy. One day, I got behind this motorcycle rider dressed in all black leather, black helmet, driving a black motorcycle. And I followed that crazy motorcycle all the way from my house into the middle of Denver. And I thought, man, they must be going the same place I'm going. Pulled up in the parking lot of the church. This guy parks his motorcycle, puts the kickstand down, and gets off, pulls off his helmet. And who is it but George Kneebone? And I said, George, is that you? You drive a motorcycle? Come on, are y'all with me? George was different from me, and he filled a different place in the kingdom. I could have never did what it was that George did. He was a 10 in areas that I'm a 0. He is a 10 in areas that I'm a negative 5. But I was a 10 in some areas that he wasn't any good at. But we both rode motorcycles. He was an awesome guy. God made us to be who we are. He didn't make us to be somebody else. So celebrate who you are. Celebrate that you're different. And for some of us, that's going to be a big celebration. You see, if you celebrate who you are, you will have little time to compare yourself to other people. And that's really where we get into a lot of our trouble, is in comparing ourselves to other people. Second thing you need to do, celebrate yourself. Second thing you need to do is love the God who made you. And I mean, many of you are going, oh, Pastor, that's just common sense. I mean, for heaven's sakes, love the God who made you. But this is kind of it. If you ever wish to be somebody else, who's the first person that you blame for being you? Come on. If you ever wanted to be somebody else, who is it that you blame for who you are? God, I wish you hadn't made me. I mean, I've complained about this a few times. I said, God, why was I born into the family I was born in? Why couldn't I have been born into Bill Gates' family? Warren Buffett, Sam Walton. I'd have loved to have been born into Sam Walton's family, to be a Walton. I mean, that was a great TV show. Oh, no, wrong Waltons. Never mind. So I could complain to God. I could say, God, it's your fault that I got who I got and I didn't get the Waltons. But you got to decide that you're going to love the God that made you no matter what. It's going to be times whenever you're not going to be happy with your weight. You're not going to be happy with your height. You're not going to be happy with your abilities or your hair, your family. You're not going to be happy with the family that you were born in. You're not going to be happy with that family. You're not going to be happy with your friends. And I could say that a whole lot of times, but it just makes the sermon longer. You're not going to be happy with whatever it is that you're not happy with, but somehow or another you got to get it uploaded into your brain that you are going to love God no matter what. It's going to be times whenever I figure it out, I go, you know what, I'm probably never ever going to be able to tickle the ivory. I'm never going to be able to play the piano, but you know what, I'm going to love God no matter what. He didn't give me any musical ability. I don't know, I was off playing, doing something crazy whenever they were handing out musical ability and I missed it. But I'm going to love God no matter what. I'm going to love Him no matter what. Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love Him with all that is in you. Love Him with all you got. The third thing this morning is this. God is with you. And I know that's another simple one. But folks, you got to understand, God has decided to be with you forever. The God of this universe, the creator of heavens and earth, He has told each and every one of us through His word that He is with us. Whenever Jesus was born, they called His name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. And so whenever you feel like that your life isn't so cool, whenever you feel like your life isn't so fun as somebody else's life, remember this, God is with you, man. I mean, I've had people that have lost their husbands or their wives, and they, you know, a widow or a widower, and they've come to me and they've said, listen, I was so extremely lonely, but God began to fill the shoes of that person that has now gone on to be with Him, and He has become my husband. He has become the wife. He has become that friend that sits next to me and I converse with on a daily basis. I've seen so many times young people growing up that was separated from a parent in some way or another. I've heard their testimonies. God was my father as I was growing up. Come on. He's with us. He's our ever-present help in a time of need. He's with us all the time. He goes with me everywhere. God is with me. And folks, I got to tell you something. I feel pretty special having God with me all the time. I mean, what I'm trying to say this morning is we're special. We're way more special than perhaps anything we've ever heard in our lives. There's been people in our society, the community we might live in, even our own families that have tried to put us down, that have told us we're not special, that have told us we're not intelligent. Folks, I got to tell you something. You are only as intelligent as you allow God to make you to be. It's nobody stupid. Now, I agree some people can learn differently than other people, but you have to understand, God can take you and put in your life anything you need to be intelligent. They say whenever people are young, it's strength that they rely on. Whenever they get older, it becomes wisdom that they rely on. Man, that's true. Wisdom for me is whenever something is heavy that I need to move, I call somebody young to move it. That's wisdom. But you have to understand, God in every one of us, He is with us, and He wants to help us and give us wisdom. He wants to make us intelligent. He wants to make us successful. He is with us. He wants to give us peace whenever we're troubled. He wants to take our fear and remove it and give us calm. Whenever we feel unloved, He wants to make sure we are loved and we feel it. God is with us. You can turn to Him any time of the day or night, and He will be what you need Him to be. I mean, whenever you feel like, okay, whenever you wish that you could trade in your family, I still would like to be the rifleman's kid. Whenever you wish you could trade in your family, remember God's with you. In your life, whether you love your life or you don't love your life, you have to always remember that God is with you. He's always with you. The last verse we read in Psalm 139, it says, and when I wake up in the morning, you are still with me. Your thoughts about me are so numerous as that they are more than the sand, the little grains of sand. There's a lot of sand in this world. And God's thoughts are more numerous than that about me, about you. Not us as a group, but you as an individual. Me as an individual. The earliest and sometimes the ugliest part of the day, and it says He's with us. Is anybody besides me there and you understand the ugliest part of the day? Your hair is undone. I mean, it is undone. You have screwed your head into the pillow all night long. And you wake up, and I'm telling you, if you have small children in the house, they will run from you and scream. But you have to understand, even with your hair undone, God is with you. And if you're like me, you wake up and you have no makeup on, God is with you. Oh. And this one here is embarrassing. But if you wake up and you've got that drool line going down here, some of you are out there going, I never. I'll admit it. I woke up before my whole pillow was wet. I thought we had a leak in the roof. But you got that drool dried all over your lip. You have to understand, even in that moment, God is with you. If you wake up and you got that old nasty breath, oh, God is still with you. In the earliest, in the ugliest of your life, guess what? God is still with you. And this morning, we gotta celebrate this. We gotta get a hold of God being with you. We gotta get a hold of, we're gonna love Him no matter what. Because we are awesome in His eyes, man. We are awesome in His eyes. Can I just share something personal? I'm one of three children. I have two older brothers. And my two older brothers, and you have to understand, this is brother talk, okay? But they're just both goofy. I mean, they're just, I swear up and down that I'm not part of them genetically. They were adopted. I was adopted. I don't know. This is brother talk. But whenever I talk to my mom on the phone, she talks about my brothers like they're normal. No, I'm serious. I mean, I'm the only normal one of the three brothers. But yet I'll talk to my mom and she'll say things about my oldest brother. And I'm going, Mother, have you met him by any chance? He's crazy. You're not describing the brother that I know. She'll talk to me about my middle brother. And I'm going, No, Mother, well, you're getting this all mixed up. He is not normal. He's weird. Again, I'm just talking like brothers talk. Because I'm sure that my mom has heard the same conversation from my other two brothers whenever she's tried to describe me as being normal to them. And what I've come to realize is parents just kind of see it like that. You know what I'm saying? Parents just kind of look at their kids and they say, you know, my kids are great. Other people look at your kids and go, your kids are nuts. You look at your kids and go, my kids are great. Now, I'm not talking about God having rose-colored glasses, but I'm telling you, whenever God looks at you, you're great. Yeah, you may have a flaw here or a flaw there, but you are fearfully, wonderfully made. You are marvelous. You are His workmanship. And you have a place that is unbelievable in His kingdom. If you will allow Him to use you, not dream about being somebody else, but just saying, God, you have made me for something amazing. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning, I'll tell you one last story, and I've shared this with you before, but whenever I first went into the ministry, and you have to understand, I didn't grow up in a Christian home or anything like that. I grew up in a heathen's household, and so I didn't have a whole lot of experience with preachers and church and stuff like that. But whenever I first got born again, there was a guy on TV that I watched quite regularly, and his name was Jimmy Swaggart. And now, I want to make sure you understand, this is pre him doing a lot of crazy things. Man, Jimmy Swaggart was anointed. Man, he could sit down and play that piano and sing. And I mean, man, there was anointing that just, it was there. He could hold that microphone and he could preach. And I'm telling you, man, there was anointing. Thousands and thousands of people were getting born again under his ministry. Missions was just exploding all over the world through Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. And now God comes and he taps me on the shoulder and he says, I want you to be in full-time ministry. He said, I want you to preach the gospel. Man, that was just foreign to me because I never dreamed in a million years I would ever be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never dreamed it. But man, immediately whenever I came to grips with the idea that I was going to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is what I began to do. I began to want to be like Jimmy Swaggart. Just being straight with you. Man, I just used to lay awake and dream about preaching like that guy could preach. Play the piano and sing like he could sing. Come on. I mean, that's what I wanted to be like. And it pushed me to a place in my own life to where literally I began to pray that way. I began to go to God and seriously pray to him and say, God, I want you to make me like Jimmy Swaggart. Oh, God, I want to be able to preach like he preaches. I want to be able to sing like he sings. Oh, God, make me like Jimmy Swaggart. And folks, you got to understand, I caught this obsession. I wanted to be like Jimmy Swaggart. And one day I was having a real good prayer time. I was shut up in a little prayer closet and I was just having a good prayer time. And me and God, we were just talking about all kinds of things. And I mean, we were just getting a lot done. And all of a sudden I brought the subject up. You know how I am sometimes. I brought the subject up. I said, oh God. And man, I'm telling you, his presence was just so full in that place. I mean, I was just weeping and he was just loving on me and it was good. And I said, oh God. Because see, I figured this was the moment that I could say, God, make me like Jimmy Swaggart, and he'd do it. There you go. Just zap me. Man, I could just walk out of that prayer room and walk onto the stage and sit down at the piano and start playing. Start singing. I said, God, make me like Jimmy Swaggart. I'm telling you, man, I was so serious about it. I was so serious. And God did not speak to me audibly this day, but I want to tell you, it's the next thing to an audible voice of God. It's one of those times whenever you know that you know that you know that you absolutely know God is speaking to you. He rattled me all the way into my liver. And he told me, he said, I want you to quit asking me to make you like Jimmy Swaggart. And that kind of confused me because I thought, my goodness, man. He said, I already got Jimmy Swaggart in the ministry. He said, I called you because I needed you in the ministry. And he broke me. He said, I called you because of a uniqueness in you that I wound in you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. And he began to tell me how special I was. And he began to tell me how much he loved me. And he began to tell me why it was specifically that he called me to be what it is he called me to be. And I want to tell you, from that moment on, I have never wanted to be anybody else except perhaps the rifleman's son. But nothing to do with ministry. God wanted me. He wanted all my little quirky things. He wanted all of my peculiarities. He wanted me. He wanted me. He wanted to raise me up to make an impact in the kingdom. He wanted me. I was a potash miner, folks. 1,250 foot underground every day, down like a mole underground. Carrying what we referred to as an idiot bucket to work. Standing on the corner waiting for the bus. Everybody looking down at us because we were the kind of the trash of the community. But God called me. Come on. He called me for who I was. At that moment in time, he looked past the faults, he looked past the flaws, he looked past some of the weirdness, and he says, I want you. And this morning, the challenge comes to every one of our lives to lay aside wanting to be somebody else. Perhaps just wanting to be something different. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are marvelous workmanship of God's hand. And he has created you to fill a spot that nobody else in human history can fill. You are unique and And you are very special to the heart of God. You see, whenever babies are born, they come into this world with no baggage. Man, they're just perfect. But as they grow, you see, things begin to get attached to them. It's just like if you walk through a cucklebur patch. Y'all know what those are, right? These are little cuckleburrs that they just attach to your clothing. It's kind of like Velcro. It sticks to you. Little sticker bugs just get on you. See, as life, we just go through this, and every once in a while, there's one of those things in life that just jumps on us, and they're really hard to get loose. Somebody may have told you at one time or another that you are stupid. You're not good enough. You can't do it. You're not pretty enough. You're not handsome enough. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're not fat enough. You're not skinny enough. However they put it to you. But you see, we all get these things attached to us, and then we start believing them after a little while. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous workmanship of God's hand. He himself personally knit you together in the womb of your mother. He created you to be who it is that you are. And he wants to use you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed all over this place. Hallelujah. Father, this morning we hear what it is you've said in your word about us. But sometimes, Lord, it's so very hard to hear what you've said in your word about us. Because it seems we've got other voices that cry out ever so loudly. And they tell us things about ourselves. And sometimes, Lord, we buy into it. And we think we're no use in the kingdom because we're this way or we're that way. But Lord, this morning, may your spirit break into each of our hearts. And may we realize, Lord, whether we fight against an illness, Lord, whether we fight against a habit, whether we fight against a personality trait that is not exactly right. Sometimes we fight against poverty, Lord. We fight against fatigue, fear, doubt. We fight against all of these things, Father. And in the midst of it, Lord God, we have to understand that you have created us. And we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that you will help all of us to know, Lord, that there is a point in our lives where we can celebrate who it is that we are. Oh, yeah, we've got a few warts here and there, but Lord, you have knit us together, and we are marvelous works of your hands. Oh, God, the workmanship that you have given to each one of us personally, Lord, you have knit us together. We're marvelous. Father, may we hear your voice that sounds, Father God, through the eons, Father God, to each of our hearts this morning. We are special to you. So with head bowed and eyes closed, folks, please really reverence this moment. I'm just going to ask a question, and I really believe that this crosses all the way from the youngest in this room to perhaps the oldest in this room. In other words, what I'm saying is there's no exceptions. You see, the enemy can get on all of our backs and make us feel as though we're less than we are. Regardless of your education, regardless of your age, regardless of your economic position this morning, I need to ask a very important question. Are you happy being who you are? And now again, I'm not talking about some of the things that really need the Holy Spirit to work on in our lives. you see, God wound you together in your mother's womb, and whenever you were born, you were just right. And as you grew, you see, there was these things that you picked up, these little cuckleburrs, one after another. And these things are saying to you, you're not what you need to be. You're not what you could be. And this morning, I just wonder if there's anyone in this room that you're really struggling with an identity process that God just needs to get inside you, that you identify with Him who it is that you are, not the world. Perhaps not even your family, not even your friends. But you need to figure out that you are fearfully, wonderfully made, a marvelous work of God's hand. But this morning, if you're really, truly honest, you struggle with that. I'm just going to very quickly ask you, if that's you, to slip up your hands very quickly and put them right back down. Thank you. Thank you. There's hands that have gone up all over the sanctuary. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else say, Pastor, I'm struggling with it right now. Very quickly, thank you. Anyone else? Very quickly, slip your hand up. Thank you. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet with me if you would? I don't want to embarrass anyone in this room this morning, and so this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray a prayer for all of those who have raised their hand. We're going to pray a prayer that they're going to get comfortable with who it is that God has made them to be. Because until they get comfortable with that and they begin to celebrate that, they're never going to be the asset that God needs them to be in the kingdom. They just need to know how awesome they are. How unbelievably awesome that they are. So let's pray for them. Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, saints, open your mouths and just begin to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to go throughout this congregation, Father God. There were many hands, but Lord, I know that this issue is deeper than even the hands that were raised. There are some, Father God, that even they didn't raise their hands, Lord, but Father, they needed to. And Father, I pray that you'll just begin to speak to hearts, Lord God. These folks are unbelievable. God, they are unbelievable, Lord. The imagination of our God, the creativity of our God that has all gone into the creation of each one of these human lives, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord, that they can just realize the specialness of who they are, Lord. That they can realize the awesomeness, Lord, of the God that created them. And Father, indeed, you have knit them together, and Lord, you are with them always. And Father, this morning, I pray that all of us in this room can just praise you for who we are. God, we thank you for who we are. We might be a little bit different from the person sitting in the pew next to us, Lord, but God, you designed us. You have made us to be who we are. We celebrate that, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you have made us to be who we are. We are awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to do one thing before you're dismissed from this place. And this is going to make you feel really uncomfortable. But you're going to have to do two things. I'm sorry, not just one. The first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to find three people before you leave here. And I would prefer them not to be like your husband or wife, because that's easy. It's a no-brainer. But find somebody and just tell three different people, say, man, I'm awesome because God made me that way. Yeah? And then I want you to find three more people, and I want you to tell them that they're awesome because God made them that way. Amen? Now, that's uncomfortable, but that's what I want you to do before you leave this place. I'm awesome, and you're awesome because we've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? God bless you, folks.